Can you apply the blowtorch on Parramatta to get this done? Seriously. And somehow this is being defended. And if that doesn't concern you, it should. Because traditional sports journalism isn't just under pressure. It's dying. When a senior journalist defends a club boss texting the NRL CEO to apply the blowtorch and calls it normal, you don't have journalism, you have access protection. And when mainstream coverage becomes sanitised, selective and strangely loyal to certain clubs, the fans lose. Today we're talking about bias, power and why it's time to get behind the independent sports media. I'm Ian Hawkins and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport as I see it is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Independent media is on the rise, which is fantastic because you get to hear more content from people that don't have an obligation to follow certain rules, to follow certain responsibilities of a business. But more than that, so often in traditional journalism, there's deals done. And to me, we're watching the slow death, particularly in the sporting sphere, of traditional journalism. It actually pissed me off listening to Brent Reed the other day on the Triple M NRL podcast a few days ago. And he was trying to defend the Melbourne CEO's text to Andrew Abdo saying, and actually I've got it right here so I can read the exact text. Hi Andrew, not getting anywhere at this point. Can you apply the blowtorch on Parramatta to get this done? Now, think what you want about the whole Zach Lomax situation, whether you think he should be made to fulfill his contract that he signed in with all the knowledge in front of him, or whether you think he should play or whatever. What is clear from that comment from Brent Reed defending that is that what's been clear all the time, they actually made a joke about it, like he's the Storm man, right? Like he's got a great relationship with the Storm. He makes no secret of that. And so everything that he says in and around the Storm comes with a massive bias. Actually, bigger than bias, he's got an influence. He comes from that perspective of, well, I don't want to upset them. I've got to be on their side because, you know, I've got to make sure that I keep this relationship up. Well, whereas independent media, like, we don't care. Like, we're just going to say it how it is. And that some of the things he went on with just shows like how stupid this is and why. Sometimes I watch some of those shows and listen to some of those things. I'm like, well, I'm not sure why I bother. He talked about that the text should have stayed private. It was a private text message. Now, I'm a firm believer that if you've got anything that you want to say that you think what doesn't want to get out anywhere, then don't put it in writing. Don't put it in electronic media of any sort. Don't text it. Don't send it in a message. Don't put it online because it becomes something that stays there forever. So personal integrity, myself, I'm not sending a text message unless I want other people outside the person I'm sending it to see, because you don't know what could happen. And to me, that's the whole situation with the Storm. They're pushing really hard and they were trying to get the NRL to push really hard to resolve this thing because they don't want to go to court. They don't want all this evidence to come out of the fact that they were chasing him when he's under contract at another club. All that anti-tampering stuff. It will all come out. But of course it won't go to court because no one wants all of those messages to come out. The NRL don't. I'm sure the Melbourne Storm don't. And Parramatta has a contract and they want a fair result. And only they can decide what's fair because it's their player. You would note very often the Storm saying, well, we'll let this guy go early if you send us a like-for-like replacement. Well, it's the same situation. Like, you want to take this player from us while he's still under contract, but you're not going to give us something of equal value in return? Because everyone knows full well that giving them a lump of cash is not fair value. That doesn't help Parramatta's situation in the salary cap. It doesn't help them to be compensated for losing a player at all. there's always money coming into clubs. They can find a way around money, but finding a way around a salary cap when you've outlaid for this high quality player, now you've lost him, and now you want to see him run around for the opposition and not get some like for like compensation. Ridiculous. He went on, Brent Reed went on, you know, like about, you know, like, well, you know, you should be able to have a text message like that. What's wrong with saying that to apply the pressure? Like as if you wouldn't be able to say that to Andrew Abdo. And it's like, what, like, and then the coast, Charlie brought up, he goes, well, it's unprofessional. Oh, it might have been David Riccio saying it's unprofessional. He goes, oh, well, I'll grant that it's unprofessional. What? Okay, so you're saying that the Melbourne CEO should carry on in an unprofessional manner and send a text message like that. Like, it's just mental. And again, it just shows just how tied to that club he is. And this is not an anti-Melbourne thing or a pro-para thing or anything like that. It's just like, this is where journalism has got to and why I can see it being the slow death of it. The bloke in the bar, what's his name, Denon Kemp, podcast. He gets some shows, 100,000, 200,000 views on some of his shows. I reckon that would be easily more than what NRL 360 gets. Unless it's had a massive spike from when I was working there, I just can't see it doing those sort of numbers. So it's already competing massively with these bigger shows. Maybe not with a show on free to air at this point. But how long can they keep this nonsense up of bias? You just got to look at Gus on any of his Channel 9 shows. It's all very biased, and they're bringing in these new laws where anyone conflict of interest, they're going to pull them into line. Well, to me, the biggest conflict of interest is the journalists. Crazy, absolutely crazy. So I don't have anything more to say really today than just having a rant about that. And also, it's like, if you're someone listening to this, which I massively appreciate, then you like to get an alternate view, and we should be all going and looking to support people who are sharing content that's not coming with a bias. Now, you're not going to like everything out there. Like I said, I appreciate the fact that you like enough of what I do that you hear and you're listening and you're watching, but Some of the stuff that's just it'll get worse this year because they haven't all of those guys on the TVs, they're associated with clubs somehow. How on earth are they going to stay within those guidelines, those rules of not favouring their club in a way that's going to be unfair? It's going to be very interesting to watch. So get behind the small operators, find those independent people that you like, and see if we can lift those guys up and get some real news out there, some authentic, real opinions, none of this sanitized, biased, bought bullshit that just this day and age, just we've grown tired of it. We want real, we want authentic, not necessarily polished, but we want true. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.